Let's see, 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to begin reading from verse 4. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's what I'm going to try and speak on this morning, is A, God is faithful, and we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it's been a strange week at work for me. It's been awfully slow, which I enjoy. I'll admit it. That may you live in interesting times is a Chinese curse, because interesting is not always good. So every now and then, I like it when it slows down. I get a chance to get caught up, and I get a chance to goof off a little bit. And guess what I did? And I found out something I already knew, that the internet is a wondrous and a strange thing. Information as far as you can surf. Unfortunately, most of this information is worth exactly what you paid for it. Nothing. Now, and I found out, as I was doing a little bit of surfing and Googling and all that stuff, that somehow, while I wasn't looking, the internet has turned me into a moderate. Now, I remember what Walter said about moderates, and I agree with what he said about it, you know. There was one that was church that was described basically as a moderate. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're neither hot nor cold. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I don't think I've changed, but I have been overtook on both sides. I have become a moderate as it pertains to the atonement. I have found people who think that Christ's cross work, his atonement, is for every single person on earth. And if I don't believe that, I'm lost and a heretic. I have found people who have written down three logical statements. Now, it's their own logic, of course. And if I don't agree that every single Arminian is unregenerate, then I'm unregenerate. You must believe, they use the word, gospel atonement, or you are unregenerate. Now, the one fellow who's... I did enjoy this, because it's brilliant in its stupidity, I think. This guy, one guy that believed the atonement was for everybody, he gave as an example the classic allegory of the state of Hawaii. God made Hawaii to be a beautiful place with many benefits, warmth, beauty, experience, relaxation among them. If I choose not to visit it, then its benefits are still available but are not imputed to me. And God can't be condemned as being a failure because I decided not to go to Hawaii. The benefits are available for anybody who chooses to go. And then he put down after that, God made heaven a beautiful place with many benefits. And if I choose not to go, then its benefits are still available, but not imputed to me. And God cannot be condemned as a failure for my decision to not go there. The benefits are available to anyone who chooses to go. You didn't choose me, I chose you.
Amen.
Christ said that. Now the other fella, this is another first for me, Walter. For the purposes of this consideration, let us call the Calvinist, who considers at least some Arminians to be his brothers and sisters in Christ, a TC, a tolerant Calvinist. Now, I have never been known for my tolerance. You can ask anybody who knows me. Most of y'all know me. Then he makes an assumption, and this is where the trouble starts. But it's not where it ends. Let us assume that TC believers, that the tolerant Calvinist believes that all regenerate people believe the gospel. Then he starts this statement. There are certainly some TCs who do not believe this, in parentheses, such as primitive Baptists, who believe that a regenerate person can go for a period of time being completely ignorant of the gospel and possibly even believing a false gospel and worshiping a false god before they are, and it puts it in quotes, converted, showing they are unregenerate. So if you put a difference between the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, just as the scripture does,
right,
this guy says you're unregenerate.
Yeah,
pretty much. But he doesn't want to be called a gospel regenerationist. We don't believe that. His whole point is, if you don't believe the true atonement of Christ, and he does, I mean, there's a 9-page document on his website, and I read almost all nine pages of it. I got to the good part. The part about the atonement is correct. Christ's atonement is for his people. It is complete. It did redeem his people. He obtained eternal redemption. That part's great. It's fine. It's right down the line. But then he's got to step over that line and say, if you don't know of the limited atonement or the particular redemption, you're unregenerate. So I don't know how that's supposed to work. I know how it works in gospel regeneration. They say you're never regenerated until you're hearing the gospel. They say the gospel is a means. It's not. The gospel is the power of God unto those that believe. Christ's atonement was complete and sufficient. But you have to understand, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. The spiritual man does, and only does then begin to understand the things of the Spirit of God. He makes no mention of an allowance for growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he makes no mention of regeneration or salvation resulting in the belief and knowing of Jesus Christ. Everything in that 9-page document is about believing the atonement. Well, the regenerate person believes Christ.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Right.
And comes to know Christ. And will come to know the atonement.
Yeah.
At least to the point where what I told Walter years and years ago, if God does for you what he did for me, you will be saved. Because it's God's work that saves.
Yeah.
In Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's Christ whom I believe, and it's his atonement I do believe, but because it's his. Because of him whom I believe. And neither one of these guys will ever mention this one particular name because they can't deal with it. And that name is Cornelius. Neither of these extremists seem to understand the truth of the gospel, because our knowledge of the gospel doesn't save. Our free will doesn't save. Christ saves.
Yeah.
Our natural fleshly will does not, will not, and cannot choose to go to Hawaii or believe God. Now, the reason I picked this scripture, and basically it's verse 9, is I read a sermon by a fellow from 1845. I can read a sermon from going, 170 years ago and get a blessing out of it. But on the internet, I'm surrounded by kooks. And the problem is, in this world, we're surrounded by kooks. By people who will believe anything except the scripture. God is faithful. God is faithful. Of this, there is no doubt. Of this, there is a certainty. And I'll put it this way, whether man knows it or not, God's faithful. Whether man believes it or not, God's faithful. Whether man preaches it or not, God's faithful. That's a fact. It's a fact of Scripture. What he has promised, he is able to perform. And what he has promised, he will perform. God does not change. He's not a man that he should repent. In a world that is ever changing and not ever getting better, God's faithful. What God has done, he is doing. And what God is doing, he will continue to do until he's done. Until he's done. Ecclesiastes put it this way, verse 3, 14 and 15, or chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Amen. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before him. The next verse says, that which hath been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Now that sounds really profound and really complicated, and it sort of is. But it is also simplified for me when I bring to mind one thing. Only God's work is good enough to satisfy a holy God. And what he's doing is what he purposed. And what he's purposed, he's promised to us. Some of it. Only God's work is good enough. God requireth his own work, which is forever. And he is faithful to perform what he has promised. Now, how does God show his faithfulness? In this right here, Paul tells us, God is faithful by whom ye were called. And he's talking to brethren. That's who the salutation is. Paul called to be apostle unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ and called to be saints. That's who he's talking to. God performs his promised work for his people and in his people, and he calls them. Now this is not, well, I said it just a minute ago, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Christ said that. And this calling here that he's speaking of is more than just, hey, you. This calling is God's work. He just said it was. By whom ye were called. By whom. In Acts 2:39 it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now there is a general call, there is a gospel call, but that's not what Paul's writing of here. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 24, just a little further up. "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and Christ the wisdom of God." Romans 9 and 23, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called. Not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Jesus Christ," grace of Christ, "unto another gospel, which is not another." God is faithful, and because God is faithful, you were called by him. That's what Paul's talking of here. And we were called, in this case, here's the specific that Paul is teaching here, "unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." This call has the desired effect. In Romans 8, he put it, "Whom he did foreknew, he foreknew his people." It's whom he did foreknow. There's a lot of people going around saying, "Yes, well, God foreknows incidents, things that are going to happen." No, God foreknew his people. And those he foreknew, he predestinated. Guess who he predestined? Well, God doesn't predestinate people, he predestinates event. No, God, whom he did foreknow, he predestinated. This preordination is to be conformed to the image of his Son, and those whom he predestinated, them he also called. And part of this call is unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's where the fellowship is. The call has the desired effect. Because God is not only faithful, he is able. And God is not only able, God does. This call is unto the fellowship. And I looked at this word fellowship, and it means, according to what I read, partnership, participation, communicate, or communion. And this fellowship is only found after being called by God, who is faithful. We do participate in this fellowship. We do participate in this communion, but we believers do not initiate the fellowship. We have to be called unto it. We're outside of it, and we need to be called unto it. The fellowship existed. The fellowship existed. Now, this is not talking about election, although it does concern election. We are his workmanship, created unto good works. There is a workmanship that is done, and we do not initiate this fellowship, but we are called unto this fellowship. Now, how many fellowships are there?
One.
There's one. The fellowship. The fellowship. There's only one. Now, there's all kind out in the world that you can have. And that you can join. You can actually even join still now, as far as I know, it's still out there. There's a group called the Odd Fellows. And I just really like that name. I never wanted to join, but I like the name. Because there are so many people I'd like to put in that category. But you can join any number of fellowships, but this fellowship is the only one that matters. And you have to be called unto this fellowship by God, who is faithful. He will put you in it. Now, we do, like I said, we do participate, we do communicate, and we do have communion. But it's because of Him who calls us unto this fellowship. The guy whose sermon I read is J.C. Philpott. Now, I don't know a whole lot about him. I've read two things by him. One was his sermon, and it was pretty good. And it was accurate. The other thing I read was his letter of resignation to the Church of England, Mason. And that was a doozy. That was a good letter. It's 9 pages long, and he laid it right on the line about what was wrong with the Church of England, why he got out. And I could have put my name in most of it and put Catholic instead of Church of England, and it would have been just exactly the same thing. Because he told them about the forms and the functions and all, that's all they had. And he talked about the rising down and the kneeling and the turning to the east and the sitting down and doing everything by liturgy. That's all I knew in the Catholic Church. He left, from what his letter said, for the right reasons. Because what he was concerned about was there was the Church of England telling every child growing up in there that they were regenerated at baptism, and he didn't want that. He talks about the communion with the world, communion with sin, and communion with our own righteousness that we had before. That's where our fellowship was with the world. But we have been called unto the fellowship of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ now. The fellowship God has called His people to is not fleshly. It is joint participation, but there's only one fellowship. And it's in His Son. And it's nowhere else but in His Son. The way to God is not through Christ. The way to God is Christ. The only way we can know God is in Christ. The only way God has been revealed unto us is in Christ. Because it is all of Christ. It is the fellowship of His Son, our Lord. If you don't know Christ as Lord, you don't know nothing about the fellowship. There's lots of church fellowships out there. And that's what they are, church fellowships. I was listening to Earl coming up the road, and he used the word, Walter, I hadn't heard it for a while, churchianity. We're surrounded by it. Religious assemblies, we're surrounded by them. But this fellowship is His fellowship. We've been called unto it. And now, by His grace, we have fellowship with the Son. We believers have been made partakers. It's about time to quit, but because if you want to know something about fellowship, go to 1 John, if you would, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. There's a fellowship with us, with believers. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This is then the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The fellowship of Christ makes a difference. Being called unto that fellowship. We have fellowship with each other, but truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son. That's the basis of our fellowship with each other, is our relationship with Christ. And this is why so many people have left this place. Not because we ran them out. I wasn't trying to run anybody out. Walter has not tried to run anybody out. Earl never tried to run anybody out, except for when somebody asked him if it was Buzzy Keller's church. But they leave us because they were not of us. They were not called unto the fellowship of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. They'll leave. The basis is because of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. That's where the basis of our fellowship lies, in Him. Because without the Father and the Son, there is no true fellowship.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's only one fellowship, and it's His fellowship. The calling of Christ makes a difference. The fellowship of Christ makes a difference. Christ makes a difference in who we believe, in what we believe, and also in our walk through this world. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Believers walk in the light because they have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. They have been called unto the fellowship. We walk in the light because we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And He is the light. And in Him is no darkness at all. Our fellowship with other believers is in God and in Christ. Our relationship with each other is because God is faithful. God is faithful. By whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We gather together because of Him. We love one another because of Him. We trust one another because of Him. We fellowship one with another because we have been called into His fellowship. And in this fellowship, there is no difference. Rich or poor, bond or free, Jew or Greek, whatever race, nation, or tribe, there's only one fellowship. Just as the good shepherd said, there's one fold and one shepherd. There's other sheep I have. They're already his sheep. But them I must bring, and there's going to be one fold and one shepherd, and there is one fellowship because of the one shepherd.
Amen.
He also said, my sheep will hear my voice. The good shepherd is going to be heard. We've been called unto this fellowship. He calls them by name. There's only one body and one head, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We shall have this fellowship. We have it now. Because God is faithful. And it's God who calls you to that fellowship. And if God did it, it's forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. I love that scripture. It's God that does it. And I'll tell you something. If you explain that to people, if you tell people that, there are some, and you will see fear in them. Because that's not what they believe. That's not who they believe. The God that does things forever. He saves to the uttermost. Why? He's able, and he's faithful. And he calls us together to this fellowship. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time, this place. And we are thankful for the fellowship we have together in the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given to us in this world and all that you shall do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.